Hey, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
Welcome to the Infamous Podcast. When the crew of the Enterprise learn of a Federation conspiracy against the inhabitants of a unique planet, Captain Picard begins an open rebellion. And now you don't have to watch Star Trek Insurrection.
What is that nonsense?
What nonsense? You mean the nonsense of Star Trek Insurrection? Yes. Or what I just read?
Well, I mean, that is the nonsense that of which I speak. All right. So, hey, guys. This is Brian and Johnny. We have our monthly for 20... Why are we doing this?
Because I'm a genius.
So 2016 is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek.
Because I'm hoping that somebody's listening to this at Paramount and will contact at least me and say, hey, you want to come out and... you know, maybe get a tour of the sets, which are still standing for the current Star Trek movie.
Okay, fair enough.
You anyway, know, maybe so... Justin Lin will hear this and say, hey, we're doing a sneak preview of a trailer here in May. It's the week you're on vacation, Johnny. You want to come on out? We'll invite you out.
He'll be like, hey, Johnny, what do you know about drift racing?
I will attempt to drift something.
Anyway, you drift the Enterprise through space.
That CGI would be awesome. Wise.
Anywho, all right. So it's the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. We've been over this, but this is our fourth one,
and that's the end of the review for Star Trek Insurrection. Right.
It's no secret we did not like this movie.
This is the second worst Star Trek movie ever produced, and we haven't seen Star Trek Beyond yet. But this is the second worst Star Trek movie.
Well, that's why you said produced
ever produced.
So, yeah. So all right. So you quickly read through the summary. This
would
movie,
you like me to read it
no,
again?
No, please don't. Actually,
when Captain Picard meets a hottie on this planet where he finds out that you don't age, he's like, hey, hottie, let's go make it so, and then we'll save your planet. That would be a better review.
That would be. And it could be the whole time. Oh, and can have the tick, tick, wah,
and then don't wah, forget, because wah, every Star Trek wah, The Next wah, Generation wah, movie had to wah, have it. There's the awesome singing scene between. And it, you know what? It's because, and I'll give a little bit of that. There are things I like in this movie. And that is one of the things I like is the British tar scene where it's Data and Worf and. Those guys, like, from the beginning, were always singing on set. And I remember that Brent Spiner recorded an album called Old Yellow Eyes. And they all did backup singing on it. Like, all the male actors on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Okay.
And obviously, they all have good vocal talent.
Yeah, they're, so I mean, they're all that, well-accomplished actors and...
That's probably one of my favorite scenes in this movie. Okay. There's not a lot of favorite scenes in this movie.
I'll say this. The film production quality.
Yeah.
It looked nice.
Yeah.
You know, like, Jonathan Frakes did a very good job like, composing shots, and the CG was great. I don't believe the Enterprise got
some of
destroyed,
the CG
per se.
Good,
but I mean, at the time. So.
Yeah.
But the Enterprise wasn't fully destroyed. But...
Let's say, like, the stuff that they filmed in the Briar Patch when Riker is in command, mm-hmm. and it's the, what are the Sona?
Yeah.
I think that's the alien race.
Yeah.
When they're chasing them and there's the whole fight, that was good. Mm-hmm. But there's that scene at the end where they're flying toward that satellite that's supposed to suck all the energy off the planet. And the Enterprise comes flying up, and it's the worst CG I think I've seen in a Star Trek movie. Because it's like, did they paste that picture on there? Because it was just really bad. But I mean, you know, CG is not something that Frakes obviously totally controlled.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was ILM doing the special effects.
No, I don't know. So the thing I found interesting about this one is, and I feel like this has been kind of a crutch for the Star Trek movies, is you have a captain.
Yeah.
On a platform.
Yeah.
That's about to explode.
Yeah.
Fighting the bad guy.
Right.
That has to be beamed away.
Sure.
It's happened in Khan. I mean, technically. They beamed the Genesis device away, but, you know, like there was the whole, well, I guess it wasn't really
Khan. No, there's
it was definitely a nemesis, and then, you know,
well, Star Trek 3. You're thinking Star Trek 3 when he fights Krug on Genesis.
Yeah, on Genesis.
Yeah.
So there's that. You know, in Generations, the whole thing where he's fighting
Sorin.
Yeah, on the platform.
Right.
You know, the motion picture, which I don't know. It's
there wasn't really anything happening in the motion picture.
In Star Trek, the 2009, they're fighting on the thing and they have to beam off, you know.
So you're saying they use the transporter as a crutch?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I got loud there.
And wouldn't you?
I personally don't think I would ever use a transporter.
Oh, you're in the Leonard McCoy, the original series Leonard McCoy, where you don't trust the transporter.
Well, the whole idea of my molecules being descrambled and, or, you know, scrambled and then rescrambled, you know,
it's just a copy. You know, it's just a copy, right?
Yeah. So what happened to the original source material?
Destroyed.
Exactly. Right. So anywho,
it's in the machine fighting right. Tron.
I'm on the grid. Okay, so let's just talk about this movie for a second.
I did.
Well, so this movie has F. Murray Abraham as the bad guy.
And let me put it to you this way. No matter how good of an actor you can get, it still can't save a movie.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like, you hear F. Murray Abraham and you're like, yeah,
F. Murray Abraham. All right, he's playing the villain?
It's like, what? He's all right, he's sweet. Villain?
It's kind of like Benedict Cumberbatch. All right, cool. Cool. Who's he playing? Oh, wait. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
Makeup effects were awesome. You know, yeah, Greg Henry is F. Murray Abraham's right-hand man. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't know who Greg Henry is, he plays Star-Lord's grandpa in the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
If I remember, I'll send a picture of me with him at a convention, and you can post it on this review.
So my whole thing about F. Murray Abraham is, do you remember the Simpsons episode where they went to, like, the Wild West?
No.
Or they didn't go to the Wild West. They went to, like, a Wild West, like, ghost town.
Oh, okay.
And the whole time they were there, Grandpa Simpson is just downing sarsaparilla.
Okay. Right?
And so when they're going back, Homer wants to get back to watch something with F. Murray Abraham on it.
Okay.
And Grandpa's like, my kidneys are going to explode. And Homer puts his like, you know, arm up on the back of the seat and, like, turns around, looks at him, he goes, F. Murray Abraham.
Okay.
And then it goes inside Grandpa's body and both his kidneys explode. And then Homer has to donate one of his kidneys.
Right.
And then Bart has to donate one of his kidneys to Art. And then Homer hugs Bart at the end and he feels where the kidneys are and he's like, oh, I like that one. Like, that for me is like F. Murray Abraham. So I can't watch anything and really take him seriously anymore. And the whole time I'm watching this movie, I'm going, just in my head, F. Murray Abraham.
But I mean, the guy is...
But it has the evil admiral who can't, like, you know, who's going against the Federation.
Well, and it's because...
What is the screening process for that job? Because
the admiral's...
The HR for Starfleet is the worst HR ever.
It's the same reason that you'd never seen Picard get promoted to admiral, right? Because he would have had to become the bad guy, and Riker would have been the good guy.
You know what? Might have been an interesting story.
Well, right.
You know,
my thing about this movie is, my major complaint about this movie is, this is during the Dominion War.
Yeah,
that was happening on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
So why didn't they just do a Dominion War story with this crew? And I mean, there's a comic book, and I think it was written by Kevin J. Anderson, that ties into the Dominion War with the Next Generation crew going to the Gorn homeworld. Okay. I'm like, how hard would it have been to adapt that instead of doing this thing? And, you know, it's one of those, introduce a new alien race. Well, no, you don't have to really introduce a new alien race, a new villain, you know. And I know that's what they're doing in Beyond, and it's because... And Beyond, it's a whole new universe. Right. So, yeah, you do want to introduce new alien races and show us stuff we've never seen before.
Right.
But it's like, I would have rather them had something to tie to the Dominion War more than just mentioning it offhandedly during a stupid, bringing in somebody to the Federation quickly because they need as many allies as they could have.
Right.
And, yeah, it was just... a bad story.
Yeah,
a bad story.
It felt rushed. Like
a bad
story
that was beautifully produced.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where like I didn't like Nemesis nearly as much as you did.
That's the thing about it is I hated this movie so much that Nemesis was a total improvement because it had, you know, more story to it, more action to it, and more of a villain.
That's like saying I went to see Batman versus Superman for a second time and I liked it. I had all the same problems with it, but I was okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like,
for you, that's what it
was.
Well,
yeah, it's like, no, like, so when I saw this one, like, this is not my bottom of the list like yours.
Second to the bottom.
It's in the middle for me, mainly because I think we get a cool Picard story out of it. And there's that whole thing for someone like him who is such a ethical person. You know, what do you do when you discover the Fountain of Youth? Because he can't very well just stay there. Well, and like, you right. know, not let anybody else know that that place existed.
But it was the whole discovering the Fountain of Youth and then discovering that the Federation was going to take advantage of it.
Well, right.
And it's one of those things where what happens when you realize that everything that you stand for isn't what other people in the group that you're with stand for.
Which is another reason why I didn't like Nemesis so much, because they never dealt with that.
What? Oh, with him?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because it's one of these things. Jean-Luc Picard has saved the Earth enough times, like Captain Kirk did, mm-hmm. that you get an out every damn time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, I'm sorry, but if you're friends with Jean-Luc Picard, you get an out just because you're friends with him.
Okay.
You want to get in that party? You're in that party for free because you know Jean-Luc Picard.
It's like,
oh,
friends.
You served on the Enterprise during the Borg invasion? You're in.
You're in. Locutus of Borg?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that thing.
Is it
where,
like, being friends with like Jay-Z or like Bradley Cooper or something? Where just by like, that's an odd pairing I picked in my.
Yeah, it is, really. That was weird.
So, it's like being friends with Mark Hamill and William Shatner.
Where did you go now?
I'm just trying to pick a more random duo.
No, I think that, you know, and that's where it's one of those things where in Nemesis, you know, coming out of Insurrection into Nemesis. They mentioned the Sona in Nemesis.
Right.
But it's one of those things where I think that Picard is just like at that point now where it's like, okay, if we really need somebody that's going to protect the Earth, it's probably going to be Picard and his crew.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be me.
Right. Well, right. Sure. Yeah.
No, I'm as Picard.
Yeah.
So.
No, you should have said that. Like, it's going to be me, number one.
It's more Connery than Picard.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's British-y sounding, so it's okay.
Strongbow. That's all I can think of with Patrick Stewart now. Have you seen those commercials?
No.
He's hilarious.
Okay, I'll look.
Well,
on
and Patrick Stewart, like
he's
you
very
said,
funny man.
In these movies, they because he had loosened up a lot from when they were doing the TV series and that,
right.
And you can tell over the years of the show. By the time they're doing these movies, he's loosened up so much that, like, there's the merengue scene.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's dancing, and it's like, don't do that.
Please stop.
But now it's like, I'm like, you know, you see him on Blunt Talk, or you see him on the Strongbow commercials.
Right, right.
And it's like, I love you, Patrick Stewart.
How funny would it have been if they, like, bust out, like, the Macarena or something back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... Like, see, that's the kind of thing
now you're
I
going
think,
like this Demolition Man.
Well, right. It's like the things where I feel like they missed out is, you know, they always talk about like Shakespeare and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, talk about Tom Clancy. Like, that's what survived, you know, not
right.
Shakespeare. But no.
And the Shakespeare will always survive.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's best to read Shakespeare in the original Klingon, though.
God.
Tuckbach. Tuckbit.
Is that the next one? No.
No, that's two down the line. Yeah.
All right. So
I'm assuming you don't like Undiscovered Country?
I did not like Undiscovered Country.
Okay.
For what it is, it's fun. But,
yeah.
All right. For what this is, it wasn't fun. It was boring. It was a bad story.
This is a well-produced turd.
This is a pig with, like, beautiful lipstick. It had its hooves done up with some nice hoof polish. It got a...
Is this the girl where it looks beautiful, but you're going to get the hell beat out of you later on?
No, it's a Monet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why Monet?
It's good from far, but far from good.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
F. Murray Abraham.
And on that note, this has been our review. No, anyway. All right. So
let's do it real fast, okay. You know, because we don't want to go long on this.
No.
What did you like about the movie? Was there anything you liked?
I liked
about
the look
the movie?
And feel.
Okay.
I actually liked Data in this one because he was learning and, like, you know, it was more of Data from the show,
right,
than we'd had in a couple, because I really didn't like Data in First Contact. I liked Picard because of the challenge that was put in front of him.
Okay.
Of the, okay, everything I believed is wrong.
Right.
Or a lot of what I've
or like you question your belief system.
And, you know, these people who I've put my trust into are a problem.
Right.
The whole playful banter between Riker and Troy was fun. And
when it set up Nemesis. Sure. Yeah.
But, like, him shaving his beard was just, it was a fun little treat, right?
Yeah.
Now, what I didn't like. I didn't like anything that Worf did in this movie.
Worf shouldn't have been in this movie.
He should, yeah.
Because there was a war going on.
And he was a part of it.
Right.
So I didn't like that. I didn't like the Admiral.
Admiral Darity.
I didn't like the fact that you knew that these people were the ones that left from the minute you saw them.
It's one of those things where it was so obvious that it wasn't obvious.
There was no, oh my God, that's... Oh, wow, it was their kids,
yeah,
or whatever. Or, you know, hello, Michael. Hello, Thomas.
Angry teenagers coming back to kill their parents.
Like, I think this is what the facepalm meme from Picard.
Oh, yeah.
This is why this was created, was this meme.
Yeah.
So that's
Make
what I did.
So.
Like. I should
you just,
pull up that
because so, it's on my phone.
Yeah, I mean, right there. So
number one.
Hello, number one.
No, the best one is the one that I always like. Matt from Queen City throws at me is there are four lights.
Yes. So now you know. I just thought this was a dumb movie, and you know, honestly,
like I said,
a
if
good
they
chunk
tied
of the Star
it to
Trek
Deep
movies,
Space Nine,
and they missed the boat
yeah.
so hard on
oh,
it.
Oh yeah.
So.
Well, and it, I mean,
and I think
tying
like you,
it to Deep Space
Deep
Nine
Space
and then bringing
my...
it into
yeah.
Nemesis
yeah.
because it's after the Dominion War.
So DS9 was my favorite Trek series.
Oh, yeah.
I think
yeah.
you're right there with
yeah.
me. And honestly, my second favorite is Enterprise after the first season.
Okay.
So I think start next
Do
generation.
I have to rank those now, too?
No. But oh. I mean, we're going to talk about these series more later in the year. But Next Generation was too hit or miss. And the original series...
it's the same. It's hit or miss.
It's the same, except for it's more groundbreaking because
right.
of how diverse the cast was. So
well, and for the original, it was like how many, you know, Next Generation, Voyager, Deep Space Nine, Enterprise pretty much had the same writing staff, or parts of the writing staff, production staff, with the original Star Trek. It's how many awesome writers they got. That were writing like groundbreaking science fiction stories,
right?
For between Twilight Zone and Star Trek and The Outer Limits, and you know, everything that was produced back then, they had some of the best writers. So even their miss episodes were good,
right?
Because there was like just crazy stuff going on,
yeah.
And that's what I appreciate about you know any of the Star Trek stuff is when they you know do something that isn't like the norm,
sure. Yeah, I
can. And this story was just, you know, this could have been anything. And it was anything.
Anything.
Like I said, it was a well produced turd.
Just makes
it
me
really
laugh
was.
Every time you see it.
The Jonathan Frakes has done better movies.
Yeah.
That were worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really.
So, all right. So, in the pantheon of the. I mean, it's definitely the bottom fourth for me. So.
Yeah.
Of the
this
12.
This is the second so. To the second to the bottom of my list. Like I said, we should just put these lists, like fill in the list as we go along.
Yeah, well, you sent it to me.
Yeah.
So,
do I have to make a graphic? Make it so, number two.
Anyway, all right. So, hey guys, we're the Infamous Podcast. Star Trek Insurrection is a turd. 20 minutes. That's
you don't have to
you
watch
need
it.
To know. Yeah, you know, we just saved you 80 minutes of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's pretty short runtime.
I don't even remember the runtime.
I don't know. It feels long. It drags on. There's like four
it
different
hurt
endings.
Me.
you know.
I've seen this in a theater, so I feel sorry for me.
I'm pretty sure I did too, but...
I've seen every Star Trek movie since Star Trek IV in a theater, so... You know, you have hope that it's a good story. They make a trailer look so good, and then you're like, you go see the movie, and you want to cry. You want to cry. It was an hour and 43 minutes long.
Okay.
So we just saved you an hour and 23 minutes. This is the Infamous Podcast. Live long and prosper.
All right, you can find us at infamouspodcast.com. We're on Twitter at Infamous Podcast, same as Facebook and Instagram. If you want to talk to us, it's contact@infamouspodcast.com for the emails and all of that super
Justin
fun stuff.
Lin, I'd be happy to come out and hang out with you at Paramount Pictures in May. And the battle for paradise has ended. Goodbye.
Later.